Now, let's talk about the first component of the strategic messaging formula. As a reminder, it is capture. Yes, this is the most obvious part of the formula, but I can tell you that it's done wrong more often than not. In fact, this is really one of the major areas of false doctrine that you're going to have to unlearn if you really want to rise to a place of total dominance. You see, large corporations and their Madison Avenue agencies have been using all types of strange, creative methods for years to get your attention. Unfortunately, the memory of these advertising agents are stuck in your head, so you're likely to follow this lead since you really don't know any different. You know this type of advertising well. Budweiser had the frogs and the lizards. Pepsi used Britney Spears practically naked, and they used Michael Jackson with his hair on fire. Geico has a talking gecko, and years ago, Mr. Whipple used to tell us not to squeeze the Charmin. Remember the old lady who used to ask us, "Where's the beef?" Remember those Wendy's commercials? Boy, I remember them. I got in trouble one time as a little kid because I went to the restroom with my folks at some event, and while standing at the urinals with the other men in the restroom, I shouted, "Where's the beef?" I was simply quoting my favorite commercial. I was just a kid. I had no idea that what I said was not good. At least it was bad timing. Anyway, this type of advertising is often called interruption advertising because it was designed to interrupt and to cause us to pay attention. They are using the RAS to their advantage by utilizing things that are familiar or unusual. But here's the thing. Even though these ad agencies are effectively using activators to snap people out of auto mode into conscious mode, most people quit paying attention because the content of their ad is not important or relevant to them. Really, do you care about a talking gecko? No, you don't. It might be entertaining, but it's not important or relevant. Have you ever spent 15 minutes only to find out they not only couldn't save you 15%, but they actually cost more than what you're paying now? I have. The only way these advertising agencies can get people to really pay attention or to remember their ads is to play their ads as many times as possible. The ad agencies love this because they make a commission every time their clients buy an ad. So the ad agencies tell their clients, "Mr. Client, we have this ridiculously entertaining ad with an orangutan arm wrestling a kangaroo, and it's been focus tested to get people's attention, and everybody thinks it's really funny. And in order to really make this campaign work, we'll need to spend about $500,000 per week in advertising over the next few months." You see, the only way these ridiculous ads stick in your mind is by pure repetition. They have to play the ads again and again and again. It's simple repetition. This reminds me of the story of the advertising executive who was trying to promote some products in Colombia and Brazil. He got a call from one of his executives who proudly claimed that he got two Brazilian TV stations to run their ads. The executive responded, "Boy, that's fantastic. So now tell me, how many is a Brazilian? Is that more than a million or what?" I mean, think about it, folks. If you throw enough mud at the wall, some of it's going to stick. That is what people are doing with these ads that you're familiar with. They are just throwing as much mud at the wall as possible, and they're profiting from it greatly. They make more and more money by spending your money. When you don't get good results, they simply respond by reassuring you that the ads created awareness. That's right, awareness. You've heard this before. Look, awareness is fine and dandy, but I'm more interested in sales and revenue. What would you rather have? Think about it. When you focus your efforts on actually generating revenue, you will simultaneously create awareness as well. Now, I personally am quite disgusted with the ad agencies and am constantly exposing their tactics. Yes, it's true, many ad agencies hate my guts for it, but I'd rather empower the marketplace and let people make their own decisions as to what they want to do and what model to use. The standard commission in the industry is 15% on media buys. In other words, the ad agency is going to make 15% commission on the ads that you buy. How can you really trust an ad agency to give you solid advice on how many ads you should run? The answer is simple. You can't. Everything looks like a nail to a hammer, right? To an ad agency, all of your marketing problems are solved just by spending more money on ads. You see, the ad agency model is 100 years old and it's simply outdated, antiquated, and as far as I'm concerned, flat out wrong. We don't think you should do business with somebody who makes their money by spending yours. At Strategic Marketing Consultants, our model is different. Our compensation is tied to your business growth. It's real simple. If we don't grow your business, you don't pay. How can we do this? Simple. Our methods work. By the time you are done with this audio program, you will understand how and why. Now we're getting to the meat and potatoes, and yes, I love potatoes. After all, I'm a Georgia boy. Of how to properly capture a prospect's attention. In short, you need to use hot buttons. Many people have different definitions for what a hot button is. Our definition is simple. A hot button is an activator that is important or relevant to a prospect. That's it. Now remember, an activator is something that is familiar, unusual, or problematic, and it snaps people out of auto mode into conscious mode. Those activators cause your RAS to send you a signal that says, "Yo, bro, pay attention." But the most important thing here is to get your prospect to not only pay attention, but to remain interested. This is a big key that is missing in nearly all of the ads you've seen or have otherwise successfully captured people's attention. If you get this part of the process right, you'll be light years ahead of your competition. Let me give you some examples. Let's say you see one of Coke's billboards with polar bears drinking Coke. It might capture your attention because the animal's familiar and it's doing something unusual. When the brain seeks for clarifying information that makes it important and relevant, and it finds nothing, you quickly revert back into auto mode. You see how that works? Let me define a hot button for you one more time for sake of clarity. A hot button is an activator that is also important or relevant to the prospect. Remember, anything that catches your reticular activating system's attention and snaps someone out of alpha mode into beta conscious mode because it's familiar, unusual, or problematic is considered an activator. But an activator only has a hot button if it's also important or relevant. This is critical. If you're not using hot buttons in your advertising, then you're not maximizing the results of your marketing. And here's why. Once your attention has been captured, your brain will automatically look for additional information to determine the thing that captured your attention is important or relevant to you. If it is, then you'll continue to pay attention. If not, you'll revert back to alpha auto mode and you'll likely not buy the product or service that was being advertised. Earlier, I mentioned that the large Madison Avenue agencies like to use activators that are familiar or unusual, and that's fine with me because that means their results will always be under-leveraged. My advice is to use legitimate hot buttons, not just activators that are problematic to your target market. Let me give you an example. I have a client named Matt who is a mortgage broker. His company was one of the top brokerage companies during the height of the real estate boom, and as you remember, the boom went bust, and Matt's company went from having a full office down to having only 3 people. In fact, their local market altogether went from having 26 mortgage brokers down to 4. In fact, Matt hadn't made any money in 3 years, and by the time he came to see me, he was pretty desperate to come up with something to help him make more sales. His idea was to create a brochure. Well, after going through a flash consulting session with him and having a market leverage analysis done, I determined that the best course of action was to create a complete marketing system that generated leads through direct mail. Later in this audio program, you'll learn what I mean by a complete marketing system. In this case, the leads were generated by direct mail and then incentivized prospects to visit a website where they can see if they qualify. Then when they visit the website, they watch a video that sells the program, highlights the uniqueness of their service, and then offers a visitor a chance to see if they qualify for the mortgage program. Matt was opposed to the idea because direct mail, in his view, direct mail didn't work. It was too expensive, and every other mortgage company was using it. But what was everybody else doing? They were sending out those letters that are gimmicks, you know, the ones that are designed to look like official notices from banks or lending institutions so they can trick you into calling them. The market is saturated with that junk and people just aren't responding to it anymore. So I convinced Matt to try direct mail using our strategic marketing program, and he reluctantly agreed. The first thing we did was determine what were the hot buttons in his market. It was actually pretty simple in his case. The top 3 hot buttons were 1. People were stressing out about their monthly house payments because their payments were too high. Two, they were worried about losing their house. And three, they wanted to save money on their monthly mortgage payments. Easy enough, right? But here's where it's really important to remember. Different people have different hot buttons. For some, they just want to save money because they are frugal or looking for ways to increase their cash flow. They are not necessarily stressing out about their payment. The point is, we needed to create mailing pieces that addressed everybody's hot buttons. We ended up creating a series of postcards with three different headlines that addressed these three hot buttons. My client was really skeptical because, in his view, postcards didn't work. I shared with him three reasons why postcards don't work for most people. Those reasons are: 1, the postcards don't use strategically formulated hot buttons that are based on important and relevant needs to the target market. 2, the postcards are not designed as part of an overall marketing system, and they only give people the option of calling instead of simply incentivizing them with a low-risk way to take the next step in the buying process. 3, most people use the wrong size and side of the postcard, and they therefore are ineffective. And 4, so here's a quick marketing tip for you. Use 6x11 postcards because that's the largest size that can fit into a standard mailbox without being folded. Make sure you put your headline on the side of the postcard where the indicia is, the side that has the prospect's address. By U.S. postal regulations, this is the side that must face the recipient, so make sure your headlines are on this side. Let me give you the three headlines that we use to tap into each of these three major hot buttons. The first headline said, "Stop stressing out over your monthly mortgage payment." The second headline, "Save your house," in giant letters across the top. The third headline said, "Save hundreds of dollars per month in just three easy steps." Remember, the key here is that we are using problematic-based hot buttons and not activators that are unusual or familiar. If we took that approach, we could have a talking dog who says, "Oh, it's time to refinance your house and my doghouse too." Or you could get a celebrity to say, "I just refinanced my mortgage with First Mortgage and you should too." Or something like that. Typical creative-based marketing junk with platitudes. Our method was scientific. Even though it looked and sounded amazingly simple, it was based on human nature and the actual relevant emotional needs of the target market. Now, obviously, there's more to the system and more to the postcards, but this is just the tip of the program. We sent out the first postcards on Monday, and by Wednesday, Matt had closed over $1 million in new business. Here are his actual words that he sent me in an email. "Dude, I've been on the phone all day fielding these leads. I've never had anything like this. Every one is a good one, and I'm not exaggerating." This trend continued for months as we continued to run this campaign. Ultimately, Matt got a chance to make some money, take the first vacation he'd had in many years, and had to hire 5 new people to handle the workload. The point I simply want to make for you is that you must use hot buttons to capture people's attention. In other words, activators that are important and relevant for your target market. If you don't use hot buttons, your prospects will quickly revert back into alpha auto mode. This process of quickly reverting back into alpha mode is what Rich Harshaw calls false beta. It is the most prevalent form of advertising seen today. Do you see how it negatively impacts your advertising dollars? Let me give you one more example of this to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. I want to give you an example of a false beta that nearly everybody can relate to. Have you ever been in a public place where there's a large crowd, such as a baggage claim at the airport? Anywhere there's a lot of background noise and plenty of people where you are not necessarily planning on seeing somebody in particular that you know. All of a sudden, you hear an unfamiliar voice call out your name. Let's say your name is Bob and you hear, "Hey, Bob." What's your response? Do you turn around and look? Of course you do. You could not respond even if you tried. The reason why this should be so obvious after listening to the last several minutes is that your name is an activator. It's just about the most familiar thing to you, and as soon as you hear your name, Bob, it instantly pulls you out of auto mode and puts you into beta conscious mode. Then your brain immediately seeks for additional information to determine if it's important and relevant to you. You start to wonder, who is it? Can you identify the voice? What do they want? How urgent does the voice sound? So what happens when you turn around and you discover that they are actually calling out to someone else who apparently has the same name? Has this ever happened to you? Hey, Bob. And you turn around and see that the person is talking to somebody else. Do you still walk over and try to engage that person in the conversation? Yeah, my name's Bob. What do you want? It's ridiculous and it's absurd. This is what we call a false beta. This example works even if you don't have a common name like Bob. My name is Shay Ellison. And it's really not a very common name. I mean, how many Shays do you know? But it sounds like other names like Jay or Ray. A year or so ago, I was in an airport working on my laptop, and over the intercom, a lady's voice announced, "Passenger Jay Ellison, please report to gate 15. Now, Jay Ellison was close enough to Shay Ellison that it snapped me out of auto mode into conscious mode. I thought, did she just say my name? So I listened some more, but they didn't repeat the announcement, so I figured they probably didn't really say it. Then a few minutes later, they said it again. "Passenger Jay Ellison, party of three, please report to gate 15. This time, again, I thought I heard Shay Ellison and thought, perhaps they did say Shay. And this is the second time they said it, so I better pay attention. But then when I heard party of three, I knew they weren't talking about me because I was by myself on that trip. It was a false beta, so I went back to work in auto mode. I hope these examples illustrate for you a major problem in modern advertising. And that is this. Just because you captured somebody's attention, it doesn't mean you're in a position to sell them something unless you can keep their attention. Furthermore, unless you are using hot buttons, you have almost zero chance of emotionally connecting with them. This is exactly what happens with most marketing today. Even if it captures their attention, it doesn't connect with them on an emotional hot button, so the prospect is lost. This is one of the reasons why major advertisers keep changing their ad campaigns all the time. Some of them even have to change the main tool that they use to capture your attention, like getting new celebrities or new gimmicks. Geico is a perfect example. They've got the gecko, but they used to have the cavemen and the googly eyes. Each one of those costs literally hundreds of millions of dollars. The ad agencies love it because they make 15% on those hundreds of millions of dollars. In the real world, the gecko enters your brain, and your brain says, "It's that lame insurance ad again, don't even waste your time," and nothing happens. But when you use hot-button-based activators, that won't happen. Legendary advertising great Rosser Reeves said it very succinctly, quote, "Unless a product becomes outmoded, a great campaign will never wear itself out. And my friend, a great campaign has to be based on the strategic messaging formula. It has to have the right hot buttons, and it must be a part of a complete marketing system.